All right, so last week we discussed we introduced the 11th Iker, the Iker of Schar Onesh, and last week we really talked about maybe the most fundamental point of the Iker, which is that the point is that how it is connected with God's knowledge, God's awareness of the world, and that the real, in a nutshell, that the real thrust of the 11th Yesod, or the 11th principle, is that not just that there is reward and there is punishment for good and bad deeds and actions, but that God is the one who is involved in giving that reward. God is the one that God takes notice of our actions and assigns consequence to them, that God sees our actions as meaningful, and that is manifest in the fact that God gives reward and punishment. That's the who Yisrael Nosein Schar. Not just that there is Schar, but that He is the Nosein Schar. That God is the one who gives the rewards. That was our discussion last week. This week, the next time we learn will be somewhat two halves of a coin. I wanted to discuss basically what the Rambam writes, which is what is underlined here in the 11th principle, is that the schar yoser gadol hu olam haba, the oncho yoser gadol hu akaris, that the reward is olam haba and the punishment is karis. So I'm going to just kind of discuss from two perspectives. The next time we learn, we'll discuss kind of the more immediate point of the Rambam, which is that he's including the Olam Haba, that it's necessary to know that Olam Haba is the real reward, seems to be a necessary part of the understanding of Schar Onesh. It's not enough just that there is reward and punishment, but that Olam Haba is, in understanding that reward and that punishment is Olam Haba, is a necessary component of having a correct understanding of it. So that we're going to talk about this week. This week I want to really talk more about the implication of that. I should make sure he finds out. Alright. This week talk about more just something that's implied from the Rambam, which is, and somebody brought this up last week, but just I deliberately switched my translation this week. We are no longer, this front page is no longer the Rabbi Kapach translation. This is now the Rabbi Yosef Shilach translation. And in the Shilach translation, in the Kapach translation, it's implied, but in the Shilach translation, it's much more explicit, that the Rambam writes the Scharo HaYoser Gadol Hu HaOlam Haba, is that the greatest scar, the largest scar, is Olam Haba, which means, if it's the largest scar, means that there is other scar, there is other reward, just that the greatest reward is Olam Haba. So just going to talk about basically the Rambam is essentially implying here that there are other rewards for mitzvos, or there are other rewards that exist, and those rewards are not the rewards that are important for the Iker. The reward which you need to know about is Olam Haba. So I just want to talk for a few minutes about what the idea is of reward in this world, and how the Rambam viewed what reward in this world is about, and why it, and just one half of the coin, why it's not consequential when it comes to understanding the Iker of Schar Onesh, why the idea of what happens in this world is inconsequential. And then next time we're going to try and discuss exactly why reward in the next world is consequential, why Olam Haba is of essence, why that is critically important, and the significance of what Olam Haba is to understand exactly why it plays such a central role. And the two will, I think, somewhat intuitively fit together, balance each other. But so this week we're just going to start with the first half, which is what is not part of the essential reward, which is which is the non-olam of the this world, the benefits of mitzvos.
I mean, the Rambam forced to say this because you can say that someone is tzaddik, and sometimes it doesn't look like they're getting anything good happening for them. So, kind of, it's easy to say, well, the war is going to be an olam haba. It's not going to be now.
Because
you can look at the proof of, like, well, we know it's not happening. This person, not nothing good is happening for him.
So that's an important point. And we'll get back to that in a little bit, but just I think if you're correct that if a person were to only believe in reward in this world, then you would have this problem that that person looks at this world and sees that it doesn't seem like it's, you know, reward is really and punishment are really being meted out in this world. So if a person only believed in reward in this world, so then that would seemingly, right, cause a real chink in the armor of their emunah, and you know, a person's going to say, okay, I'm doing things because, you know, you're going to get the live a good life and look at myself, look at everyone, you know, the Tzadik Ralo, Rav Atovlo, right, and Rasha Atovlo, and yeah, that's a valid point. The one point that I would just point out is that the Rambam is not saying, seemingly is not saying that you have to know also about reward in the next world, but he seems to be implying that you only need to know about reward in the next world. Meaning that, let's say that the Rambam would have said that don't think that the only reward consequence for mitzvot is this world, there's also the next world. So then that would somewhat mitigate your point, right, which is that person might say that, okay, you know, I see that not everything seems to be, you know, lining up in this world, but it'll be balanced, it'll be the cheshbon, the calculation will be, the account will be completed in the next world. But the Rambam seems to specifically say that the only part of the reward that you need to know about is the reward of the next world. So now the second thing I would point out is just on the next. This is not really what I was going to focus on. Is that when the Rambam speaks about the old, we'll get back to this eventually, but that the Rambam speaks about reward in this world. He talks about that the Torah discusses reward in this world, and he says, Kol osan advarim emes hayu v'yiyu. He says that, you know, the things that the Torah promises, they happened and they will happen. So whether they happened in the time of, you know, Shlomo HaMelech, when all of Yisrael was, you know, in time of Hezekiah, or different times in Jewish history, or when maybe the Jewish people as a whole were more as a nation doing Ratzon Hashem, or whether he means, you know, it's individuals that it happens to, but the Rambam does seem to accept that the promises that the Torah gives for this world, that they do come true. So, at least in some way.
There are certain psukim that talk about you can live a longer life if you do, you know, I don't know, give it up aim, or I forgot what you're supposed to
do. So keep it up aim and chew up a con.
So do they actually scientifically
we're going to get to that point in 1 minute. It's actually going to be a very critical point in our discussion here of what the Rambam's view is, which, so before we get there, I just wanted to point out on this next page, we're going to get back to this page. I put it here because there's one small thing I want to point out. We're going to have to come back to this as our final source. And this is the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Tes. This is probably the Rambam's primary point of exposition about schar in this world versus the next world. But I just want to point out one thing, just to corroborate, you know, the point that we made, that there is something called a reward in this world, that I brought the one specific translation of the Rambam, which seems to make the point explicit, but the Rambam himself, in Hilchos Tshuva, he wrote, this is the Rambam's own original Hebrew, so this one line that I underlined in the middle, Apa Pichin Ein Osan Atovos, so after he describes that all of the things that the Torah promises, that they do come true, he says, and even so, those Tovos, those benefits, they are not Ein Osan Atovos Hin Sof Matan Schar Shel Mitzvos. Those are not the totality of the reward of mitzvos. The Lo Osan Haros Hin Sof Hanakama Shenok Me Over Alkal Mitzvos. And the evil that comes to someone who doesn't obey are not the Sof. They're not the end of the consequences that come to someone who violates the mitzvos. So the Rambam here again seems to emphasize that it is is a star, but it's not the sof star. It's not the final star. And it is a nekama. It is an onish, but it's not the final onish. So, again, so to keep this, to try and keep this point in mind, now a very critical point in what the Rambam understands, we're going to get back to a machlokus in the Gemara about where and how reward takes place. But the Rambam, in the previous chapter in Ilchot Tshuva, so on the next page, the Rambam says, this is chapter 8 of Ilchot Tshuva, Halacha Aleph, the Rambam writes, "Hatova hatzafuna latzadikim hi'chae olam haba." The tova, the good that is awaiting the tzadikim, the righteous, is olam haba. "V'heim achayim she'ein imahem maves." That is the life which does not have any element of death. "V'hatova she'ein imara." And it's the good which does not. It's good which does not contain any remnant, any hint of bad. Who should call to the Torah? And that's what it means in the Torah. L'ma'an yitav l'cha v'harach l'yamim. In the order that should be good for you, and you should have and you should live long, you should have lengthy days. Mipi ha'shmua lamdu. In the oral tradition we learned. L'ma'an yitav l'cha l'olam shekulo tov. That should be good for you in the world which is entirely good. V'harach l'yamim. And you should add, and you have long days in the world which is entirely long, meaning endless. The zehu ha'olam haba, and that is olam haba. So the Rambam takes this pasuk, uman yitav l'cha v'arach d'yamim, and he cites a drasha from the Chachamim, from Chazal, that say that drasha, that pasuk is not referring to having a literal, or what we call in the simple meaning, a long life, meaning you'll live to a ripe old age, but it's referring to the schar that you will get, is referring to that your real, that the true reward will be in the world which is entirely good, and will be in the world which is entirely long. So, the Beis Yosef here, the Kesef Mishnah, if you look at the top right, refers to, what is the Rambam coming from? It says, Mipi Hashmu Alamdu, that we learned in the Torah Baal Peh. So he says, Besof Perek Kama De Kiddushin, V'sochulin Meimra De Yaakov. He says, this is referring to a Meimra statement of Rabbi Yaakov, which is in the end of the first Perek of Kiddushin, and in the end of Masech HaSchulin. So if we turn the page, just to see really quickly what that is. What is this drasha of Rabbi Yaakov? So the context here is, we're just going to see one small piece of this Gemara, because the Gemara has a back and forth, a machlokas tanaim, two opinions about how to resolve the dispute or contradiction. And so the Mishnah basically says, "Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas meitivin lo umarichin lo yamav," that anybody who does a mitzvah, that he benefits and marichin lo yamav, and his days are lengthened. And the Mishnah goes on, but basically the Gemara brings a contradiction that says that there's only some mitzvos which someone who does them gets a reward in this world. That there's these things which are ochel perasim olam hazeh v'keren kamos olam haba. Right? The Gemara goes through trying to resolve it. The Gemara eventually comes on to Rava. Rava says, Rava Amar, ha mani Rabbi Yaakov hi. Who is the one espousing this position is Rabbi Yaakov. What did Rabbi Yaakov say? That the Mishnah which says, Meitivin lo, that they give him good, umarichin lo yamav, and they lengthen his life, is Rabbi Yaakov who says, Schar mitzvah b'hai amaleika. Rabbi Yaakov says, there is no such thing as reward in this world. D'tanya, we have a brisa. Where do we have Rabbi Yaakov saying this? Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Ein lecha kol mitzvah mitzvah sheksuva b'torah shematan schar v'tzida. There's no such thing as a mitzvah in the Torah that the reward for it is written along with the mitzvah. She'ein tchias meisim tluya ba, in which it is not actually referring to tchias meisim. Meaning every time the Torah refers to a reward that it writes along with the mitzvah, that reward is referring to tchias meisim, is referring to the reward that you're going to get. In Olam Haba, is the reward that you're going to get after this life. How do you see this? By Kibud Av, it says, L'man yarichun yamecha, l'man yitavlecha. It says that you should live a long life. B'shiluach hakan ksiv, and by sending away the mother bird, it also says l'man yitavlecha v'arach v'yamim, that you should have good and live a long life. Haresh amar lo aviv, what you have a guy who his father tells him alei rabira the haveli gozlos, go up to the top of that tower there and go fetch me the birds or the eggs. Va'alo labira the shilich isaim, he went up to the top and he sent away the mother birds. V'natolas abanim, and he took the children, like the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Ubachazi also nachal hamais, and on his way back down he falls and he dies. Heichan tovus yamav shelzeh, heichan arichus yamav shelzeh. Says, where is this guy's long life and where is his goodness? He did both. He was in the middle of doing both mitzvahs, about which the Torah promises that you'll have a long life, that you'll be good for you and have a long life. So what happened? Ella, so says Rabbi Yaakov, what does it mean? L'ma'an yitav l'cha l'olam shekulo tov. When it says l'ma'an yitav l'cha, that you should have good, you should benefit, that's l'olam shekulo tov. It's referring to in the world which is entirely good. U'l'ma'an ya'arich u'yamecha, and in order that you have lengthy days, long life, l'olam shekulo tov, in the world which is entirely long. Now, we're not going to go just tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, first it goes through a bunch of technicalities about exactly how this happens, but the Gemara says, I don't understand, Rabbi Yaakov has a proof from this hypothetical situation.
I was going to ask.
Maybe it never happened, right?
Maybe the person doesn't fall down because he's looking
around. Right, so the very first thing Gemara says is, maybe it never happened, right? Maybe you're wrong and it means you'll have a long life, and the answer to your question is, you're right, that doesn't happen. So when I said no, Rabbi Yaakov Maisa Chaza, Rabbi Yaakov actually saw such a thing happen. Rabbi Yaakov personally witnessed such a thing happen, and based on, and he said, so you have to understand that when it says that l'man harach l'yamim, so it means that you're, that doesn't mean a literal long life in this world. It means that you'll get, that there's an abundant schar, that means that there's an olam shekulo arach. There's a world which is entirely long, which is indefinite. And that's where the real sky is.
So this means that if you do one of these mitzvahs, you automatically go into Olam Haba? If you do keep it up, you're set.
Well, so in a certain sense, yes, but it's much more complicated than that. We just read the words of the Mishnah, that the Rava is saying that the Mishnah is the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. And the Mishnah says, Kol ha'osa mitzvah achas meitivin lo marichin lo yamav. Anybody who does one mitzvah, meitivin lo marichin lo yamav. He gets good and he gets a long life. So if you do one mitzvah, so then you'll still get some kind of entrance into the next world. So now, the Rambam himself, and maybe we'll get back to this at the end, discusses that there is such a thing as deeds which are more fit to be rewarded or punished in this world. Rambam elsewhere in Hilchos Tshuva discusses this and in one other place, it's not coming to my mind right now, but there is such a thing that anybody who does a mitzvah appropriately, someone who does a mitzvah the right way, so that mitzvah has some schar that person has to get, whether that means that they're going to need, whether they're going to have the necessary onesh for everything that they've done wrong in order to be left with that mitzvah, or whether or not their misdeeds will so outweigh their mitzvos that it'll, they'll end up getting, however it'll work out, but basically every mitzvah creates something which in principle gives a person access in that very limited way into Olam Haba. Somebody, that does not mean that Olam Haba is not a binary thing. Olam Haba is not, either you made it or you didn't make it, and if you made it you're all the same, and if you didn't make it you're all the same. That there are, a person can be, achieve Olam Haba in a more complete way or in a less complete way. A person can make it into Olam Haba in such a way that, so to speak, out there by the skin of his teeth. And the Gemara says, the Gemara Tshuva says that in Olam Haba, each person is going to be nichva mechupaso shel chaveru, that each person is going to, so to speak, be burned by what someone else has, which means, then it says it's going to be literal jealousy, but a person is going to see that other people achieved more than they did, and they're going to feel the pain of knowing what they themselves didn't achieve that they could have achieved. So a person, even with a person being an Olam Haba, can have an experience of noting their own failure to become everything they could become. So while it might be true that someone who does, you know, one mitzvah has a certain schus in Olam Haba, but that doesn't mean that go do one mitzvah and now go have a party, because even if that one mitzvah gets you into Olam Haba, but you're not, you know, it's
other than that one mitzvah. Let's say you're a murderer and you do the one mitzvah, right? So according to this, if it's not saying, you know, if it's strictly talking about doing the Shulchan Khan or Kibbutz Av, it means specifically Olam Haba. It doesn't mean reward on this. So how does a murderer go right into Olam Haba because he did one mitzvah?
He's certainly not going to go right into Olam Haba.
So the
Rambam, this is not my cop out answer. The Rambam really writes this in elsewhere in Hilchos Tshuva. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of measuring, you know, what a person deserves and what a person and balances everything out. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything figured out in, you know, the way that is the most just, and in a way that we can't really figure out, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes into account, you know, everything about, and not just, you know, a checklist of you know, good versus bad. How good was the good, and how bad was the bad? And even within how bad was the bad, how much did that, you know, line up with that person, you know, where that person was holding in life and his, you know, circumstances? And so everything that, you know, we can't possibly take into account, so Kadosh Baruch Hu takes it into account, and however Kadosh Baruch Hu works out, everything will add up in the end.
Okay, so last question.
Yeah, sure.
So, does anyone disagree with this idea that that doing mitzvahs and doing kibbutz av or shulchan aruch? Does anyone say that actually does mean that you're going to live a longer life on this planet?
Yes, this is actually my focus in the Gemara here.
Okay,
right. So
because I mean, from the Lashon, it does not. I don't understand what it means to live a longer life, and then you're saying that means Olam Haba. Longer Olam Haba is there a length of time for Olam Haba? I mean,
no.
Right, so there's no living longer. One person not living Olam Haba for 6 months, the other person for 10 years. So the Lashon to me doesn't fit Olam Haba.
All right, so to point out,
it says longer.
In actual Hebrew, it doesn't actually say longer. It just says long. Right, it doesn't mean that it was going to be a certain length and now it'll be longer. So, which is exactly what Ryakov is coming to say. He's coming to say that it doesn't mean that you would have lived a short life and now you'll live a long life, short life.
That just means long life.
It means you'll have long life. Right? So Ryakov says what that means is that there's a world which is entirely long, which is long in the absolute sense, and that it's never ending, and you will merit to have the long life, which means the life which is entirely long. So that's
if you've got a couple of murder from the adult, you might have more great accommodations.
I don't know exactly how these things work out, but it might be that there will be, you know, some. Let's start with one thing. There is this, and this is a discussion that I don't know if we're going to have a class on this, but it is definitely worthy of its own discussion. Is what karis is according to the Rambam, which is that a person can, even though they've done whatever mitzvot that they've done, but there's something called karis, which means, according to the Rambam, you've spiritually cut yourself off, and the Rambam says it. It's a big discussion what exactly the Rambam means and how it balances out with certain other things, but that a person who does an Iser Karis, that the Rambam says that they're not going to be there for Olam Haba, that the punishment of Karis is not, you know, flaming whips and anything like that. Karis means you just won't be there. The ultimate punishment is to be absent from, is to be, to not partake in reality. Reality is Olam Haba, and you will be absent from reality. Your existence will be cut off, and that will be the end of it. So a person could have, hypothetically, where this is where it becomes somewhat complex, is figuring out, so if a person did mitzvos, so they're supposed to get olam haba, but they did isurei karis, so they're supposed to get cut off. So where do those two things, you know, how do those two things balance? And that's, you know, is complicated in the Rambam in the first place, and even after you understand the Rambam, it's complicated in how we, you know, are meant to figure it out. But basically, so the Rambam, just want to get back to our point, the Rambam, in his Hilchos Tshuva and Perek Ches, is quoting Rabbi Yaakov. When he said over the drasha of Rabbi Yaakov, what does it mean? Right, the Rambam tells him, "Piyush Muah." We learned that when it says "Vaharachta Yamim," what does it mean? It means Yom Shekulo Aruch. That when the Torah said you'll have long days, it doesn't mean in this world; it means in the next world. So the Rambam seems to be going with the opinion of Rabbi Yaakov. Right? How you work it out with the Machlokas Tanayim but the Rambam seems to be implying that we follow Rabbi Yaakov. So this is on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. So the issue we have to deal with is twofold. One of them is an issue in the Rambam, which is that we just saw a Rambam which said that the Sar HaYoser Gadol, the biggest reward, the greatest reward, or the highest caliber reward, is the reward of Olam Haba. And now we have a Rambam which is codifying a Halacha, which says the only reward is in Olam Haba. Sar Mitzvah Bayal Malika. There's no such thing as Sar Mitzvah in this world. Second thing is in the Gemara alone, Rabbi Yaakov. Did Rabbi Yaakov have a Chumash? Probably Rabbi Yaakov had a Chumash, right? And he probably knew the Chumash. And if you learn through the Chumash, if you learn through Sefer Dvarim, if you learn through Sefer Bamidbar, you will find large swaths of the Chumash which say things like, if you do what Hashem says, then it will rain in the proper time, and your crops will grow, and there won't be war. And if you don't listen to Hashem, then there will be war, and there will be sickness, and there will be problems will come to you. Those things, you know, something which is very, let's call it vague, something which is very, I don't know if we call it cryptic, but, you know, somewhat, you know, amorphous, like, you'll have good. So you'll have good is easy to come along. Good means olam haba. But something like it'll rain in the proper season and your crops will grow is a little bit harder to deal with. So what is...
If you're a farmer, that's very easy to deal with.
What?
If you're a farmer, that's very easy to deal with. You know that's good.
No, I mean it's harder to deal with in terms of, if I want to tell you that the reward in the Torah is only in olam haba. So a pasuk which says it's going to rain in the proper time is a little bit harder. What do you do with that?
You make distinction between private reward and social reward, I guess. Meaning, so private reward is only olam haba, but there could be, if society as a whole does good, then Hashem will reward us in this life.
So that is theoretically possible. I think actually one of the Gaonim actually says that, but it's certainly not the pashtus, not the simple understanding of what Rabbi Yaakov's words are, at least the way the Gemara represents his words, is schar mitzvah b'hai al-malekla. There is no such thing as reward in this world. So it's hypothetically possible he meant for the mitzvahs in an individual. His examples happen to be individual mitzvahs, right? The sending away the mother bird and...
Why do people pray for rain?
So what does Rabbi Yaakov understand with these... What does Rabbi Yaakov understand, you know, all these promises the Torah says? And how does the Rambam, who seems to be acknowledging that there is something more than just Olam Haba, just that Olam Haba is, you know, the highest level of reward, so how are we meant to understand this? So the Rambam, in two places, one of them is earlier in the introduction in Tehillah, and the other one is, if we go back to that first first Rambam that we were looking at, but we'll start with Tehillah. So the Rambam himself deals with this question, and the Rambam writes that the way in which we are meant to relate to reward in this world is entirely different than reward in the next world. And the executive summary that we'll just go through some of the highlights of what the Rambam writes, but that there is the difference between a means and an end. And the Rambam writes as follows. This is in the Hakdama Dechelet, the Rambam writes, the Amnam, this is after the Rambam has described that the schar of Olam Haba, the reward of Olam Haba, is something that which is indescribable in this world. It's beyond the anything we can relate to, because it's above, it transcends physical experience, and therefore we have no means to relate to the experience, and that's the real reward, is the reward in Olam Haba. He said, so the Rambam, after he's said all of that, he says, Va'amnam, ha-yehudim ha-tovim ha-va'arayim sh'haniskarim b'torah. So all of the good and bad things which are alluded to in the Torah, which are destined, but which are predicted in the Torah, kavanasam masha saper lecha, they're all along the following lines: v'zeh shehu omer lecha, that is, Hashem is telling you, im tekayim eila hamitzvos, if you fulfill these mitzvos, asayecha al kiyuman v'hashlemos b'en, I will assist you in keeping them and in perfecting them. V'asir mimcha ha'ikuvam kulam, and I will remove from you all of the obstacles, all of the blocks which inhibit you from being able to fulfill the mitzvos appropriately. And he goes on to give examples. So somebody who's sick, somebody who's very tired, who's very busy and preoccupied with all kinds of, you know, things in this world, and there's war, and there's all kinds of things which disturb a person's tranquility. Person is unable to fulfill the mitzvos when those kinds of things are going on. And Hashem says, if you are keeping the reward in this world, so then I will assist you to be able to do what you're trying to do. And through that, you will be able to get the most out of the mitzvos, and through that you'll be able to reach Olam Haba. Hare, next underlying section, Hare she'in tachlas haTorah she'tishman ha'aretz. The purpose of the Torah, the goal, right? The end goal is not that the land should be fatty, that the land should produce ve'yarich v'yamim, and that you should have a long life, live to an old age, ve'yavriyu agufos, and be healthy. That's not the goal. The goal is that these things, they should all facilitate the fulfillment of the mitzvahs. These things will all facilitate that a person will be able to appropriately fulfill all of the mitzvahs. The Rambam goes to contrast that with it goes in the opposite direction also, that if a person is doing a veros, then Hashem makes it harder for him to keep the mitzvos. Hashem, if you don't care about keeping the mitzvos, so then Hashem, so to speak, pushes the person away and says, you don't care about keeping the mitzvos, so I'm going to make it harder for you to keep the mitzvos. And that's, the Rambam discusses elsewhere in Yilkos Tshuva, that itself is part of the onesh of the Avera, is that it's now harder for him to keep the mitzvah, and it's his own fault that it's harder, because he's the one who made it harder for himself. And the Rambam actually, in relevant to the Parshios that we're learning now, says that that's really what was going on with Paro. Paro did enough Averos that Hashem took away his Bechira, made him incapable of doing what he was required to do, and then punished him for it. Why? Because even though Paro at this point had reached such a level that Hashem took away his Bechira, but it was his own fault that Hashem took away his Bechira, and therefore he was still held responsible for it.
So that sounds like there are two types of people, either going to be really good or going to be really bad, because it's going to make, right? If you're not doing mitzvahs, then Hashem's going to make it harder, so they're just going to fall down this sliding path, and the people that are doing mitzvahs, it's going to make it easier, and it's going to keep on escalating.
Right, so
there's going to be very few people in that in between.
Well, right, so a person can always do tshuva, but a person always has, even when a person is in a state of where it's very easy, a person is always, it's in the Rambam's presentation of it, it is made easy in a very pragmatic, practical, material sense, which means that the fact that Hashem is making it easier does not mean that Hashem is taking away the internal nisayon, that Hashem is taking away the external the external opposite of incentives, obstacles, right? So the Rambam actually says that we have an idea of the Chazal say, well, from Tzara Agra, that according to the struggle is the reward. The Rambam seems to be somewhat, you know, flying in the face of that. He says the Rambam is saying that, you know, Hashem's your reward for, or the consequence of your doing mitzvot is that it's going to keep getting easier and easier. That seems to be counterintuitive. The more reward, the harder it is. But the Rambam is saying, in order to increase your reward and make sure you'll be able to do the mitzvot as best possible, it's going to make it easier and easier for you. So the Rambam actually says in Shmona Prakim, the Rambam says, L'fum Tzara Agra is going on that internal struggle. The more that a person has an internal struggle, so the Rambam's example is, the famous Rambam says that a person should not say, I have no interest in eating chazir, I have no interest in eating treif. A person should say, I really want to eat treif, but what can I do? Kadosh Baruch Hu says I can't. And that's the struggle that the Rambam says is Lefum Tzara Agra, is the internal struggle against your taiva, against your rotzon. But the external struggle against the circumstances that a person finds themselves in, that's what the Rambam says is on the contrary, that the more possibility that a person has to be able, if they decide to keep the mitzvos, that they'll be able to, that's, you know, that opportunity, let's call it the opportunity to do more mitzvos, is to a person's benefit.
There's a big difference between saying, I really should want to be a chazer, but I know I can't, and saying, it's out of the question, I would need chazer.
Well, but those two points are on a similar scale, though. Meaning, one of those is, I guess, a higher level than the other is there's no chance I would eat chazer because Hashem said not to, as opposed to there's no chance I would eat chazer because I've, you know, convinced myself that chazer is disgusting and I have no taiva for it. I have absolutely no desire to eat it. So I have desire, but it's not up for discussion. I don't have a tzad. I don't have, you know, I'm not entertaining the possibility that I might stop at McDonald's on the way home. But not because I've decided McDonald's is so unappealing. Not because I've ingrained it in myself that if God says it's no good, then I've decided it's no good. But if God says I'm not supposed to have it, even though it is good, I am under no circumstances going to have it. Right? But that struggle, that internal struggle with even though it's something that I would want, you know, under no circumstance, I've, you know, absolutely accepted Ratzon Hashem that I'm not going to have it. That's the struggle that the Rambam says is Lefum Tzara Agra. But that the external circumstance in which a person is able to keep mitzvos, that's a consequence of mitzvos, that Hashem makes it easy to keep mitzvos. And the Rambam says that that's why all of the Nevi'im and all of the Tzaddikim, why did they want Yemos Mashiach? Rambam said, not because that they're looking forward to all the comfort that life is going to have then, but they wanted to live in a world, in an environment which they would be able to focus the most acutely on keeping the mitzvot and learning the Torah and acquiring the chachma and yediyah of Hashem. But that was what they wanted. They weren't interested in living in a tranquil, peaceful time because, you know, tranquility and peace are enjoyable, but because those things would facilitate the further acquisition of Yediyas Hashem, of Torah and Mitzvos. And the Rambam finishes here. He says, "V'zehu inyan amra malei mashalom schar mitzvah mitzvah uschar avera avera." The Rambam says that is the pshat in the Mishnah, that the reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. The Rambam says that the reward for a mitzvah is that it leads you to another mitzvah. And that's the Rambam says, the idea of schar mitzvah b'hai alma, what does it mean that there is reward for a mitzvah in this world? There is no true reward. There is no end reward for a mitzvah in this world. There is no purpose which is an ends unto itself in this world. The mitzvahs in this world have a reward. That reward is more what we would call a consequence, which more we would call that is they assist you and lead you to be able to do more mitzvahs. And therefore, doing mitzvahs, of course there's a positive consequence to that. And that positive consequence is that it facilitates you, it does give you good, it gives you a positive environment, makes life easier for you, you'll get better, in order that you be able to keep more mitzvahs. And that's the Rambam says the idea.
Can I use the word onesh, avera, avera? Scar mitzvah,
that's for onesh avera. That's right. So the wording of the Mishnah is scar avera avera, because the word scar just means payment, just similar to...
Scar doesn't mean reward.
So we use the word scar to mean reward, because usually payment for something is that I'm paying you as I'm giving you something you want, but you can also have the same thing with gemul. Gemul, we normally associate as compensation. But gemul just means that which you get in response to or in return for what you did. So gemul can be ra'a also. Star is very similar. Right, star in the same way. It generally has a positive connotation. But the word star literally just means the payment. So payment for your averos will be more averos. So the Rambam says that means that if you do averos, so that will end up that the person will have a situation in which they end up doing more averos. But so in the Rambam's world, there is such a thing as schar mitzvah, but b'hai alma. But at the same time, it's true that schar mitzvah b'hai alma l'echa. There's no such thing as true reward in this world, because everything that you get in this world, that's just a means to what real reward is. Real reward is only in olam haba. Everything in this world, its only purpose, the only reason for getting a reward in this world is because real reward is in the next world. It's only because the reward in this world is going to facilitate further access to that reward in the next world, and that's the real accomplishment of reward in this world. The real purpose of reward in this world is that it facilitates the achievement of reward in the next world. We're kind of running out of time. We're kind of already out of time, but I just wanted to throw in that we're already over time, but that there's a lot of discussion about why the Torah does not write about Olam Haba. The Torah does not describe Olam Haba. The Torah spends time describing the scar of this world. It doesn't spend time describing Olam Haba. And the Rambam never expresses it explicitly, but the Abar Benel, going based off of the Rambams that we just saw, comes out and says that according to the Rambam, the reason that the Torah did not mention the reward of Olam Haba is because the Torah does not want you to be Oved Shelo Lishma. The Torah does not want you to do a vote of Hashem in order to get reward. And that includes even for the reward of Olam Haba. And if the Torah would have written about the reward of Olam Haba, then people would have served Hashem for Olam Haba, either because they would see how great it is and that would cause them to do it, or because if that reward was written in the Torah, people would say, okay, if the Torah writes that reward, that must mean that I'm supposed to be focused on that reward. But so the Abar Benel says that the reason the Rambam left it out, I'm sorry, that the Rambam would tell you the reason the Torah left it out is because the Torah wants you to be Oved Lishma, wants you to serve Hashem for the sake of serving Hashem and not for the sake of any reward.
But then they shouldn't have had it
to
be
Kibbutz
Avim
case. Well, so the Torah referenced that there is such a thing as reward, but doesn't describe to you what the reward is. And we're going to have to get back to that point, because a very important question is, if there's an ikar, there's a principle saying you must believe in reward and punishment, but there's a fundamental idea you're not supposed to be serving Hashem for a reward. So how do those two things go together? And the Rambam paskens both of them. So we're going to have to get, that's something we're going to have to dedicate at least one class to. But just to, in this point, where did the Abar Benel see that in the Rambam? I mean, or maybe to phrase it differently, it's very nice that the Torah didn't write the rewards of the next world, so you won't be Ovi Chalo Lishma. The Torah is full of reward in this world. Maybe I'll be Ovi Chalo Lishma for that. If you read the Rambam and you understand what the point of reward in this world is, the whole point of reward in this world is to achieve that. No one's going to be Ovi Chalo Lishma for something which is in itself not of essence. Something which in and of itself only serves a purpose of reaching something else, that's not schar. It's not what we, when we talk about reward, that's not the reward, that's not the end result, that's not the real reward of mitzvahs. That's something which there's nothing greater to that, and therefore a person's not going to be Ovid Shelo Lishma for that, because if you understand what it is, there's nothing to it. And that's to get back to this, really, this is going to lead us into what we're going to talk about, discuss in our next class. But that's really the difference between the reward in this world and the reward in the next world, is one of them is real and one of them is not. This world, the reward of this world, just in a very simple observation, by definition, you're only here for 70 or 80 years. The reward that you get in this world, it's by definition temporary. You're not here long enough for it to be real. that's what we have to build to next week, is when we talk about that the reward, the real reward, which is part of the Iker, is the reward of Olam Haba, is because that's the reward which is the one that's real. And the consequence of what we're discussing today is the reward of this world is only a means. It's not, there's no value in and of itself. And that's what the Rambam means when he says that the Rambam implies there is schar in this world. But that schar is not real schar. That schar is only the schar which facilitates the schar, the real schar of Olam Haba.